Morning. Oh, this is going to work. I lost my voice, so I was a little worried about, well, I'm still a little worried about how it's going to turn out. But welcome to the 7331 and 332 SharePoint examination prep. My name is Shannon Bray. I'm a Microsoft Certified Solutions Master for SharePoint. And certification is one of those things that not only do I feel is important for me, but it's extremely important for the staff that I hire. And it's just something that I've always thought that was extremely important because it helps validate our skills, right? And oftentimes, being in our industry, we might be really good at one or two things because that's what our job requires. But certification gives us the opportunity to start jumping into other areas that our employers may not have, you know, like BI or storage or things like that. So this is me. I'm the guy in the middle of those two beautiful ladies there. And my contact information is up here as well. We'll be sharing the decks at the end of the conference, but if anybody wants them before, we can play the email game or whatever. These are the two books that I've written. This one's just coming out, and I'm going to refer to this one a couple times because there's some information in there that will help you. And if you go into study hall and sign up for the Savari 30-day trial, then you can access the information in there if you're planning on taking the exams today. So I'll point to the book isn't it's in its quick edit mode on Safari, which means only like five chapters are there in its raw form. It's the format. But some of the things will be helpful, and I'll point that along the way. So what we're going to be talking is we're going to talk about Microsoft certification from the SharePoint perspective, just a brief overview, just to make sure everybody's on the same page. And then we're going to kind of take a look at the exam guides. Unfortunately, with this session, we have to talk about 331 and 332 together. Oftentimes, I like to go into the technical nuts and bolts on a particular exam and probably won't have much time to do that. But I'm available pretty much all day today. So if anybody wants to talk about SharePoint after, I'm good until like a book signing until 4:30. So I'll be happy to talk about anything you want, SharePoint. Then we're going to take a look at the study for success on these exams, which is probably going to be, has anybody got a current SharePoint certification? Okay, that's going to be important for you guys because they've changed. These tests are different than those other tests. So I'm glad you're here. If nothing else, you won't be shocked when you go sit down. So we're going to talk about those as well. And then I'll go over some bullet points on whatever time we have left. I've got some ODs here that I can highlight, and then I'll talk deeper into various pieces. So the Microsoft certification overview. As we know, they've recoined the certifications again. We've gone from the MCPD, which was the developer, and the MCITP, back to the MCSA and the MCSE. Everything in the certifications now, in fact, I think I have it here, are, you know, they all have an S in it. Even the MCM program for 2010 is now Microsoft Certified Solutions Master. So what that S really means is we're no longer talking about just the technologies, just a single technology. We're now trying to provide a number of solutions, and these certifications span those solutions. With SharePoint, it's still kind of really specific SharePoint, but for those of you who've been doing SharePoint a while, you got to know a lot of things about a lot of different stuff. I mean, I came to SharePoint as a .NET developer. Wasn't very strong with my AD, my DNS skills, and things like that, and it didn't take long for that to get exposed. So, you know, I really had to take some time to go back and learn the Windows infrastructure side. But you can be on the IT pro side, right, and you have no idea how the app management stuff works. So now you're starting to really kind of bridge the gap. One of the things that was weak in the previous certifications was that there was a big difference between the MCITP and the MCM. Huge gaps. What they've done now is these exams are tougher. The MCSE is much closer to the MCM content than ever before. And if you go look at the objective domains for each of those exams, you'll see that we're no longer doing overlap. It's just whatever topics that they feel fit into a certain bucket is really what those tests cover. And we'll talk about the ones for the MCSEs. But I also have a link in this deck to the pre-reading list for MCM or the MCSM. And it's not there to, you know, try to push that program or anything, but what it's there is that is an excellent source for if you're just looking for something on TechNet about BI or storage or anything, you can go to that pre-reading list, you can find it by category, and you no longer have to sit there and peck. So if nothing else, that should be a valuable resource for you as well. So the MCSE, one of the things that I really appreciate now, coming from the dev side, right, is that it actually requires the MCSA for Windows Server 2012. Now, that's three exams, 410, 411, and 412. If you are a SharePoint MCITP, you can take the 417 upgrade exam in one sitting to get that SA out of the way. After that, there's just two exams, 331 and 332. Is anybody planning on taking these while you're here? Not too many people. So that's good. It's going to give you some time to process some stuff because we're probably going to highlight some areas that you don't have experience with, and some of those areas could actually cost you a passing score. So we'll kind of talk about those. And then here's just a highlight on the MCSA, kind of going over what I just kind of mentioned, the three exams. But if you also, so if you have an MCSA in Server 2008, ITP in virtualization, ITP in messaging, ITP in link, ITP in SharePoint administration, or ITP in enterprise desktop, you qualify for the 417 upgrade. So that's, for some people, saves money. Yes?
Skip step one, give step two, and step three, and then come back to step one.
Absolutely. Because when you register for the exams, they don't see where you are in the process. You just don't have the cert until you complete the triage. So the audience profile, whose are these exams for? Typically, you've been doing SharePoint for 4 years or so. So for a lot of people who are just coming in, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't take the exams. It just means that you're going to be expected to study a little harder to hit those benchmarks. And with the solution side of things, you're going to start to see that, you know, you need the experience in Windows Server, IIS, Active Directory, and network infrastructures. Storage is going to be one of the things as well. So the exam guide for 331, we're going to kind of just put some bullets out there real quick on 331 and then 332 and then talk about them together, but separate. I just want to make sure I get some of the finer points before we get on the technical part. So here are the objectives, and these are available on the Microsoft site, so I'm not going to go into them a whole lot yet. I will later, but into the finer bullets. So this is what the exam covers: design, SharePoint topology, planning security, install and configuring farms, web applications, and then maintaining a core SharePoint environment. In the past, if you took one of these exams, you would have found that you're doing a multiple choice scenario. So pick one, pick two, or you know, they kind of tell you exactly what to pick. And so they've changed that to make them a little bit more interactive. You'll still have some multiple choice, but what you're going to find is now you have a number of case studies, and The case studies may or may not have multiple choice with it, but you may have some PowerShell snippets on the side that you have to drag over in the right order, or which PowerShell commandlets do you need to know for certain things. So you'll see those over there, and if you have experience with them, you'll be like, oh yeah, this is it, and you pull it over. They also have hot link areas to where they may show you pieces inside Central Admin and say, where would you go to do this? And you click that link, and there's your answer. It'll highlight. So it's much different than you're a SharePoint administrator. You need to do this. Pick A, B, C, or D, right? Which is, our experience. Now, it'll still say you're a SharePoint administrator. You need to, because that's your requirement. But how you do the question could be quite different. I actually enjoyed these exams, just because of I appreciate the amount of effort that they went into to make the process better. So exam for 332, the topics that we cover now is business continuity management. So for some of you who may not be familiar with that term, this is where your backups, your restores, your network load balancing and all those topics come into play, and we'll talk about that here shortly. Planning a SharePoint environment, upgrade, migrating, configuring service applications, and then BI solutions. These are extremely important. Now, one thing, these are all evenly distributed on the exams. So if on the site they'll tell you like 20%, 19%, I didn't find that that's really helpful. But that information is there. So study for success. There's a couple of things. Here's some of the things that we're offering at TechEd. You can register for the exams on site. And we do have discounted exams. You can take these for 50% off. And if you are on the dev side, the SharePoint exams are in beta here, and those are free. Beta exams are long because you get all the questions in one sitting. So if you have nothing better to do, it's a good way to spend some time. There are no practice tests for these yet because of the way the questions are created. Measure Up and Transcender haven't put them out yet. You get to chat with me on anything you want if you like. And I'm typically working this area on the third floor this week. And then we have Study Hall, where you can go into Safari, and get the 30-day free book or whatever and read some of it there, but also hit some of those links I have. Is everybody familiar with the Ignite training that was free? How many people have seen the Ignite training? Wow, nobody. That link's in here too. So there's about 60 hours worth of free training provided by Microsoft online, that's IT Pro and Dev. And it goes over some fantastic information, and I have links to that. But that is going to be well worth the time, and free is good, right? You can go back and tell your boss, yeah, I went to TechEd, I got all this free stuff. Oh, by the way, here's your expense report. So the CRAM. So here's where we get into a little bit more of the technical details, but this is where I start providing some of the links. And I will give anyone the deck immediately after for anyone who wants these. This is all on 331. Designing a SharePoint topology. It's very important that the case studies that you read, you really pay attention to, because a word or two may change the answer. The questions will be asked and have distractors in there may be valid, depending on however the questions are. So it's going to be important for you to really get into the case study. One of the things I personally like to do is I like to go read the questions first to get an idea of what information I might be looking for. And it's just kind of throw it out, but if it's talking about how I might want to store particular formats or whatever, then when I'm reading the questions, my brain will kind of pull that information like, oh yeah, this is going to be important. To go back to how the exams have changed, one of the things I also want to point out too is before, when we did the multiple choice, you answered, 45 to 65 questions, basically, and you could go back, make comments at the end. It's changed a little bit. Everything now is in segments. When you begin a case study, you read that case study and you answer those questions on that case study, and when you finish, you're pretty much saying, okay, I'm done completely with this case study. I can't come back to it. So it'll ask you for comments and stuff at that time. You then may have ones that aren't associated case studies. Those are in their own segment. So that may be something that you're not exactly ready for if you're experienced. Designing a logical and physical architecture, right? The logical aspects are going to be the components like the service applications. And with 2013, the logical and the physical architectures are a bit different, right? The minimum requirements have been increased, primarily to support search. Search is going to use no less than 5 gigs of RAM. You have the distributed cache service that nobody's paying attention to. That's going to start consuming things. So when you start looking at minimum requirements, the minimum requirements you see on the site should be your minimum requirements. Don't even think about trying to save a little money because it won't work. SharePoint 2013 needs every bit of everything. So the distributed cache is going to be important from a planning aspect because you're going to want to know where you might want to put it, because by default, if you're using a scripted install like we should all be doing, if you don't put the parameter, if you're using your 2010 scripts, it'll install it just like you did, and it'll install it well, but it'll put distributed cache on every single one of those servers. This is a big one. Guys, so if you've not done this, you need to at least go read some white papers or some of the links on what it requires to do some of the stuff with SharePoint Online. That could, on these exams, be exactly what holds you back from having a successful passing. If you may have struggled in one of the other areas and you've never done this, you'll be doing that exam again. So bone up or review. You're really going to kind of want to pay attention to, and PowerShell is always important, right? So on all of these bullets, not just these, right, but all the ones we talk about, examine how you might do some of that stuff with PowerShell commandlets. One of the things that I like to do as a Microsoft certified professional is when I see these lists, I will sit down, because it goes into a little bit more detail than just this. It goes case in point for designing an information architecture. This is available on the Microsoft site. It says the objective may include, but is not limited to, designing an inter-site navigation taxonomy, designing site columns, content types, design keywords, synonyms, best bets, manage properties, plan information management policies, plan manage site structures, and plan term sets. So that's what that first bullet's about. So if there's anything in there that you've not done, that's the opportunity for you to kind of make a checklist. Like maybe you do an Excel spreadsheet or something, you write this down, and you can go familiarize yourself with that. Get that done, check, move on. When you see those in whatever format you may see it in, then you're going to kind of have some experience to do it. You will not pass this exam if you're using just your 2010 knowledge to take it. It won't happen. While the product looks and acts very similar, there's enough stuff in there in the core infrastructure that will bite you. You just won't have that experience. Now, everything I just rattled off pretty much, right? That's the stuff that you would have from a 2010 aspect. The same thing with some of the logical architectures. Planning application pools, planning web applications, software boundaries. Software boundaries are going to be critical. If you've not reviewed that website, you're going to want to go through and kind of understand what the minimum requirements are, how many service applications, and how it consumes RAM, and things like that. Planning content databases. There's a lot of talk out there about the sizes of content databases, right? Right before SP1 2010, all of a sudden Microsoft comes out with a big demo at SPC showing you, you know, how their farm runs with 4 or 6 terabytes of information. What they don't tell you is how much that demo costs them and the support team that they have in place to do that one demo. I don't have access to those kind of resources, and I'm an MCM, right? So most people just won't be able to pull off the same thing. To me, the 200 gigabyte database limit is still a pretty solid recommendation. I'm not going to read all the bullets, but I am going to read the ones for the Office Online. Because how many people have experience with SharePoint Online? Oh, a little bit more than I expected. So, we're probably a little stronger in that area than I had thought. But the objective may include, but is not limited to, evaluating service offerings, planning service applications, plan site collections, plan customizations and solutions, plan security for SharePoint Online, and network services. PowerShell as an administrator is extremely important to us, right? So anything that's going to be available for SharePoint Online or SharePoint on-premise or doing hybrid, you're going to want to understand those commandlets. Planning security. Security is going to be extremely important on both exams, right? Security is important to SharePoint. Security is important to you. And it's important to your customers if you're a consultant. One of the big changes, right, is by default, the web applications are created using claims mode, right? The only way to get classic is to use PowerShell. And that's because that's the way Microsoft would like us all to go. In fact, there's a lot of pieces in the product that just won't work if we're in classic mode. But how many people know what doesn't work if you're in claims mode? Anyone? There's some advanced authentication scenarios for BI that won't work if you are using claims. So understanding your trade-offs of classic and claims is still important, even though they have bridged that gap beautifully. But there's, as you build your farm, you might now start building different web apps in different modes to be able to pull off the perfect farm. OAuth is important, right? And that's going to be obvious as you go through the Ignite training. They have several hours on OAuth and server-to-server and link to SharePoint and Exchange to SharePoint and the integration and team mailboxes. Those are all areas you're going to want to focus on. And platform security, just in general, on, and this is going to cover everything, just from your simple user security, all the way up to your authentication mechanisms, and then farm level securities as well. Installing, configuring your SharePoint farm. This is kind of the gotcha, right? This is where they can put just about any question in the world on. So yeah, it's in that category, right? But planning the installation, I do a lot of cleanup in my career. You know, people bring me in after because of that one thing. Nobody really plans. They take the disk, they stick it in, they run that configuration wizard with all the options, and they go, ta-da, right? And then I get to go in and go, no. But it's extremely important, especially when we start talking about some of the other bullet points on managed metadata and the planning aspects. As you're reading requirements, think about how you would actually build your farm as you're reading that case study. Enterprise Search, Managed Metadata Service, and UPA are the three services that this particular product is heavily dependent on. Before, you could just use search, which kind of had a requirement still on MMS a little bit, but only for some advanced features. But everything is using the UPA, the user profile service application, and much greater, to a much greater level with all of the improvements they've done with the profile services. And that requires search in MMS to work properly. As we know, right there, the UPA wasn't our friend in 2010, and that process hasn't gotten any better. So the same way you did it then, the same scripts you used to do it in 2010, can be used in, well, will be used in 2013. Now, the style might be different. So depending on how you're doing it, if you think you might be breaking some rules, let me know. I have some scripts that do it correctly. But there are still some changes here because it's no longer required to use FIM. Right, we can go directly with AD, or we have some other options. So be familiar with those, play with those a little bit, and feel comfortable with some of the new settings. Search is amazing. I mean, it may require some resources, but I like what they've done with it. Right, we've taken FAST, an enterprise search, and it's become one offering, and it spans all the products. Foundation, server, well, that's pretty much the two products, right? But we no longer have that big FAST balloon that costs people lots of money. Right? We get the benefit of all that cool technology. But the problem with search nowadays is, does anybody know? If you've not done PowerShell, how are you going to get search up and running? You're either going to use the configuration wizard, which you shouldn't do, or you're not going to get it there. So PowerShell's your friend. How many people have been skating by without doing PowerShell to this point? Okay, well, there's a couple of you. So going back to the point, you kind of really want to bone up a little bit on some of your scripts. Create and configure, and it just kept going, so I just put dot, dot, dot. But, you know, the web applications, this is, and a lot of these, right, they kind of tie to other bullets. But when we're creating the objective domains, we're trying to think of what's important for the SharePoint professionals to really have a good idea on to have their certification, to help validate their skills. And most of the ones that you're seeing here, you're really going to be able to take for your experience of 2010 to help apply it. The service application architecture is the same. The ports that it communicates with, 328.43, 44.45, all of those is identical. Some services have been replaced. Some of them have been ejected, recreated. So it's going to be important for you to kind of understand where those were, what they do, and which service applications do what. Managing search. They've got a neat little tool, just kind of a side note, in search, that you can export your topology in XML. You can play with the XML and re-import it. So saying that you have to use PowerShell is not entirely correct, but I have to argue that the PowerShell is much faster. But there is that as well. A core environment, monitoring SharePoint's important. This is one of the ones that I'm going to refer back to one of the chapters in the book through the Safari, Chapter 9, where I go in pretty good detail on monitoring a solution and tuning and optimizing and troubleshooting. They're all pretty much covered in the quick early release version there. So a lot of that is the same from 2010, but what I found is a lot of people didn't have experience with that. They install SharePoint, you get the little banner across the top, it's yellow, it turns red, you just become immune to it eventually, and then you stop clicking on it, right? And then you have the health analyzer in there, which is trying to be extremely helpful. Right? You click that, and it'll tell you exactly in most cases, exactly what you need to do to fix it. But then some people are like, that's not important. And the reason why it bites people is because the ones that they say are not important may not be important, but it may mask another issue because they're not seeing the color. They get used to it being a certain color, right? And new ones may pop up. So if you start to ignore some, now you have to start reviewing it every day to make sure you don't have any surprises. Because when it starts talking about storage, service accounts, and things like that, it's an excellent tool. Service accounts, you know, that's kind of a tricky weaving subject. How many people use a different service account for every service application you have? There's a lot of companies who require that. Does anybody know what the problem with that is? Yes, sir. Yeah, and I'm a fan of that. And the reason why you should have a particular account across some service applications is because if you don't, how many service applications do we have? 15, 20, somewhere in there? Then we throw a couple web apps on there. How many app pools do we now have? 20, right? All sucking up RAM. How many is technically supported by Microsoft on a particular on one web? 10. Right, so if you've gone through and you created all those accounts, you're technically outside support. There is a little star there that says you just need to add more resources, right? But then you're sitting there with 8 gigs of RAM on your box thinking, well, I have the minimum requirements, when now, actually now you probably need 32 or 64 gigs of RAM to support that scenario. So that's just kind of a side note I'd like to point out, because I understand, you know, with security being important, I do a lot of work with the government, they have those rules, and I'm like, okay, but it's going to cost you a little bit more money. Yes, sir?
Just a quick, you have an app like Health Analyzer?
Yes.
It doesn't help, and it seems to be more broken in 2013. It doesn't help when the false positives, if you will, like
yeah.
out of this space come up.
Well, right, I completely agree with you. But on those aren't actually false positives. Those are multipliers of 5 and 2. Now, what? And for some of you who may not be familiar, what we're talking about is, let's say I have 8 gigs of RAM on my machine. I'm going to pick 8 because it's a good number for me to do math with here in front of everybody, right? But if I have 8 gigs of RAM, I need 40 gigs of space that is available on my drive, or I'm going to get that first warning. As soon as it gets down below 16, it goes red. Right now, people go take a look and say, well, I still got 16 gigs of space. So it's Yeah, well, that's possible. You know, I'd have to kind of see that scenario. But there are false positives, right? So from a consultant standpoint, how do you address them? And they're trying to make it better, but there's some development on the side that's getting better from the community on those. I think it's a fantastic idea. I'm still waiting for it to be implemented. Plan business continuity. This is where we're going to start talking about 332 a little bit. Continuity is, and this is one of the ones that I'm going to kind of go off the bullets with. Some of the things that you may look at is SQL high availability, right? What's one of the biggest changes between SQL 2008 and 2012? Always on. Right, always on is fantastic. In fact, in SQL Server 2012, if you use database mirroring, it's now deprecated, right? So it's not expected Deprecated is a funny word in Microsoft. But it's not expected to move forward. And that's what that word means. It means we're no longer investing money into that technology, and it may go away. But in 2010, right, they deprecated STS-ADM. It's still there. All of the way it works still works, just like it did. They just took out the ones that no longer matches the functionality. So just because it's deprecated doesn't mean it will disappear. It just means that it can disappear. On the flip side, there was some stuff that nobody told us was going away. It was gone, right? For better or worse. So you don't always, and they're calling it deprecated now, but by the Microsoft definition, it's not deprecated, it's gone. So when people throw that word around there, it gets a little dicey. So if you've not done anything with Always On, I would encourage you to do so. There's an excellent video on Ignite that walks through a fantastic demo on many of the things that you might want to pay attention to on this topic. It talks about the improvements to the read-only. In 2010, if you put a site in read-only, the add document link just disappears, right? But to your average user, he's not going to know that, oh, you're in read-only mode. He's going to be like, something's broken, right? SharePoint's not working right. I can't add documents, or you change my security, you know, all these different things. Now you get the nice little pink banner that you can kind of customize. Well, you can't really, you can add a link, a read more information link. But it's a neat feature now, because now you can say, this site is in read only. You get to still review your content. I'm busy doing some stuff in SharePoint, but I'm still allowing you to access your stuff. And you can tell them all of that in the little read only link. SQL Server clustering. See, before, and now that we're solution experts or solution masters or solution associates, right, we're now really having to start pay attention to SQL a little bit. And this, I got a little, you know, deeper help, module 12 of the 2013 videos, but this is where it is very important for us to understand SQL for both our professionals and for the exam. SQL aliases, having a conversation last night and asked the experts, is something that I feel is important. But some other people have different opinions on them. But that, to me, is all part of this as well, just because it's how you're addressing SQL. SQL Server log shipping. Storage redundancy, always on, clustering, all topics that you should be familiar with. If not, if you may not have ever done them, but you're going to need to know when you might want to consider doing them. Because, you know, going in and actually setting up clustering really isn't a SharePoint thing. It is a server thing. But when would you want to cluster is definitely a SharePoint thing. So you can have an intelligent conversation with the people who may be doing that, or for some of you, that is yourself, right? High availability. high availability is important. A lot of us may have multiple servers in our farm. There's still a lot of people that they have SharePoint on top of their SQL box, you know, on the same roles, on the same box. And I guess if you're not going to be highly available, then that's fine, because if you lose SQL, you're done anyway. Or you lose your web front end, you're done anyway. But if you do that kind of things, you're going to need to know how much RAM is required. And now the minimum you need is 24, according to TechNet. That's going to go back into boundaries and stuff. All of that is testable. So with the high availability, some of the objectives, you plan for service instance configuration, plan for physical server distribution, plan for network redundancy, plan for server load balancing and SQL aliases is a topic there. SQL aliases aren't complicated. They're extremely important, in my opinion. But a lot of people just don't really understand them, and they don't use them. So those are some of the topics you're going to want to focus on. And then backup and restore. Establish a SharePoint backup schedule. Establish a SQL Server backup schedule. Plan non-production environment content refreshes. Basically getting a feel for all of the out-of-the-box tools and knowing how they work. Now, a lot of us may use third-party tools for doing that. So you may not be familiar with some of the when I say out of the box, too, what I mean is in the app, right? The things that just come with it right out of the box. But if you're not familiar with the how some of those features work and what they actually back up and not back up, that's going to be important. One of the hot topics when 2013 came out and was RBS, remote blob storage. Anybody doing RBS? I'm going to reframe my opinion on the technology itself. It sounds good on paper, right? But it was really putting the product for one thing, to get you people using WSS 3.0 with very large databases in the WID to the next version. That's why it was there. It wasn't designed for all these wonderful companies to come in and find their niche, right? My only problem with it is if you use it, you're now betting your entire farm on their implementation, and now you need to go buy all their other tools to do your backups and support you, so you're not saving any money on storage once you go tally up that, you know, the bottom line. But with that, you should be familiar with how it works, what kind of storage mediums and stuff you might be using it for, just because, you know, they are bullets on the ODs, which basically means, and you know, they basically hand these to the question writers and they're like, what kind of question can I write on that particular piece? Right? So they may go open something up, they play with it, and they're like, yep, that's a great question. They're not trying to make them tough or hard, they're just trying to validate that they've met the objective. So that's kind of why I said earlier, when you're practicing for studying the exam, the best thing to do is to use this as a guide to go, as a guide to go through as a check mark. And one of the things that I do is, if I was going to write questions for this exam, what would I focus on? And if you do that when you sit down, things become much easier. Planning a SharePoint environment with social workloads, you know, it's big, right? Yammer, UPA, UPS, all of these things talking, you know, that's all part of the social workflow. And SharePoint 2013 has done a much better job on bringing social to the workplace. I liked what 2010 did, but 2013 is definitely better there. Search is fabulous. Now, the WCM and ECM workloads, you're definitely wanting to go see. You're going to check out this module. It covers WCM and ECM. And if you've not really seen all the cool features of those, that's going to highlight them. You have the cross-site collection catalogs. So you can have information in one site collection. You can consume that information in another site collection. That's one of the coolest features that they've added. And not too many people really even know about it. So you see a very good demo there in case you are required to use that information at a later time. With the search workload, some of the other things that you are going to need to be familiar with is, you know, the search result redundancies. Configuring index freshness, we have a new continuous crawl feature. Does anybody know what continuous crawl is? Yes, because before it will be crawling And if it was crawling, it wouldn't start a new crawl. So if you were trying to do it every 15 minutes, and it was taking 20 minutes to do it, then you're going to have a gap in your crawl. The continuous crawl is basically like an incremental crawl that launches every 15 minutes, but it ignores that rule. So it'll fire off, and it'll run them in parallel, right? So it's kind of a cool feature. I'm still waiting for that. I haven't. Most companies that I've dealt with so far are still, every 8 hours is fine with us, right? And I'm like, okay, but it's there if you need it. So for you guys, it's there if you need it. If you haven't played with it yet, though, go check it out. Spend some time on the full, the incremental, and the continuous. Some of the time is basically you'll take a look at the screen. But, you know, as you have those options, there's just notes on why it's there. Although we've just covered the gist of it. Some of the other things in WCM, the product catalog and topic pages, that's going back to the site collection, cross-site collection. Content deployment, you know, that's something that I never really saw take off as far as people asking for it. So that may be something that a lot of people don't have experience with. How many people have actually done content deployment? Yeah, not very many people. So that's a good little lab to give yourself, setting that up, seeing how it works, seeing if it breaks. No. I personally have not seen any investment in it, and I don't think they made any. I asked, and I don't think it was touched. So if you liked your experience in 2010, you're going to like your experience in 2013. And then there's also the flip side of that coin. So, e-discovery, some big changes there, right? They had e-discovery kind of in 2010, but now with the ability to do full e-discovery, because now with the OAuth, right, your email stays in Exchange, your SharePoint documents stay in SharePoint, your e-discovery spans all of that, pulls the information, can put the locks, the holds, the retention rules all around all of that, and everything works fantastic in the limited amount of time that I've spent with it so far. But it seemed to be a great feature. Records management, retention. Has anybody played with a lot of those features? You go into the site collection or the list, you're able to set your retentions, and then you can use the send to commands that you configure in Central Admin, just like 2010. A lot of that has stayed the same. For a lot of people, that's worked rather well. And something that you're definitely going to want to focus on is, I'm just going to read the CCM bullet. Just as a general guidance here, but it says plan and configure e-discovery, configure document routing, plan and configure co-authoring, plan and configure record disposition and retention, plan large document repositories, and configure software boundaries. If you're lacking experience in any of those, I'm going to encourage you to go do something with those. And if you have any questions on those when you start playing with it, shoot me an email. And I might give you some steps to help you understand that technology better. I mean, I'll never tell you what's on the exam because that gets me in trouble, that gets you in trouble, that devaluates the process. But what I will do is I'll help lead you down a path to make sure that you're going to be successful down the road. Upgrade and migrate. Once again, excellent series on this. I think Shane and Todd did those, and they did a wonderful job. It's really one of the niches that I felt like that they've done extremely well in. And it's basically one of the most important things to Microsoft, right? Getting you to the newest version, getting you ready for the cloud. Because 2010 wasn't ready for the cloud, right? 2013 has been redesigned specifically for the cloud. In fact, all of the features that you get are really just cloud-based, right? They're there to get you there. Planning the upgrade process. Has anybody done an in-place upgrade in 2013? That's a trick question. So you have to do a database attached upgrade, which means you need new hardware. And if you live in a virtual world, that might be a trick, right? Because some companies are like, well, we just don't have the room. We're running at max capacity. How do we get this done? But you do have the database attached upgrades. Now, some of the things that I hear people get down about is that they don't have the pre-upgrade checker. But you don't need the pre-upgrade checker. The pre-upgrade checker worked for 2007 to 2010, but the guy who really gave you the real information, right, was the commandlet that you did after. When you checked the content database and you got the nice report, and that's still the one that you're going to use from 2010 to 2013, and then you mount it, and it'll actually do that upgrade for you. So the upgrade process is important. Once again, definitely check out those videos. And one of my co-authors, Patrick Curran, the chapter that he wrote on upgrading the books, I think that's in the pre-edit. He did a fabulous job on that as well. Service applications. I love service applications. The job interviews I have, this is where I go straight to the point. You know, because it is, to me, it was the cool thing about 2010, and I was so happy that they didn't go and, you know, change the boat on me in 2013. But so it was an area that I didn't really have to spend much time on as I move forward in my certification plans. One of the things that I'm just going to point out now, just for it's important for everybody to know, not necessarily as an exam topic, is these guys, BCS and Secure Store. Does anybody know where Secure Store, what versions of SharePoint Secure Store works on? What's that? Yeah. In 2010, it only had it. It was on Enterprise. So if you were going to do any BCS stuff, you had to do some revert-to-self stuff, which is a security nightmare. But it's actually now included in Foundation. So if anybody does anything with Foundation, you now have ways to use Secure Store in BCS, just like you do in Server, and it's one of the fabulous changes. Foundation also supports the ability for app management. So Foundation has gotten a serious facelift because it has to be cloud ready too. And with that cloud ready came some of these other services. So that might be important information that you might need to know because you want to make sure that you're helping your clients or your company use the tools that are right for the job. Service Application Federation. That's shameless self-promotion. I did a SBC 12. I did a session on it. That's also the one that I lost my voice on, so take that for what that's worth. Today has been a little better than I expected. But I also have a white paper on TechNet that talks about it from the 2010 perspective. Same exact thing, except some of the services have changed. One of the things to note is if I'm going to do it, I'll federate search. I may not federate the UPA just because it's no longer supported in WAN environments and things like that. But the TechNet article will give you enough to be successful should you see anything in those areas. Productivity services, that's a term that was just coined while we're creating the objective domain, so we're not expecting really anybody to know those, but these are really going to be your BI components. So basically, when you're taking a look at the service applications and you're creating them in PowerShell, and you're getting everything to work, that's really going to help you along the way of helping you study. Now, one of the things I want to encourage you not to do as you're studying It's just go find a script from my blog or Spence's blog or Todd's blog, any of those, and just cut and paste them, right? Because it's not going to help you master those commandlets, right? The way you do PowerShell now is amazing. Well, I don't want to call it amazing yet, but it's so much better than it was before because you have that IntelliSense, right? So you might type, what's a good one? Backup SP site or something. You hit tab, and you know the parameter switches and stuff are going to start popping up. So you can actually be very productive. So get to know that commandlet by playing with it a little bit, and then after you have your certification, save those bad boys off, pull them up, and never have to do it again. I have like a thumb drive. When I walk into a place, it's like, all right, I got it. Right? And I have hundreds of scripts all organized. I don't have a big Uber script because an Uber script doesn't get you anywhere. But if you just have different segments, I can piece these together, I hit play, and I know I'm going to get exactly what I want every time, and it's fabulous. It's fabulous because it is my farm, right? BI is something that's getting much stronger in SharePoint. It's definitely something that you're going to want to focus on for the 332 exam because this is where some of the security parts might, as you're playing around with it and you're in claims mode, that's when you might realize, oh, wow, this doesn't actually work, right? And as you're starting to troubleshoot, maybe you're doing a Bing query or whatever, that's when you start finding out this doesn't work. I have to be in classic mode. And I didn't know that when I did all my farm planning. So now I have to go back and have a completely different idea. That's one of the reasons that I think certification is extremely important, is because it's going to expose you to things like this before you're sitting down basically selling yourself to the saying, look, I'm your SharePoint guy and I got this. And then you go find some little nugget that just bit you, right? So certification is really supposed to help you get around that. And by the way, this link is fabulous. It's a fabulous start. It goes much deeper. You don't have to be a technical expert. You just have to have a pretty good understanding of the core pieces. So additional resources. I'm doing great on time. We'll be able to open it up for questions. So the SharePoint 2013 training for IT pros, there's also a dev side for anybody who really wants to just pour everything into your brain. Click this link, and there's 12 or 14 modules of just on videos you can watch that will give you a great deal of information and get you prepared. Troubleshooting, another great link on a TechNet article. And then the cross-farm services I talked about earlier. Here's the link to that. That's one of the things that I found that a lot of people haven't done. In fact, when I give those sessions, it pretty much has like 12 people in it. You know, at the SharePoint conference, 12 people is not that many people. So it's something that the product can do. It's something that you should be aware of. But it's not something that people are actually implementing yet. The MCSM pre-reads. Here's the link to the XPS that is just going to give you everything you need to know to be successful in SharePoint. When we're sitting the beta rotation, we're sitting there going over the stuff that we need to know, and people were taking these links and, oh, this is a good link. And we were sharing it in a OneNote, and it basically ended up being the predecessor to this. Fabulous resource. Getting started with Upgrade, you have this, but you also have those videos. If you, so read through this, watch the videos, go actually do an upgrade, and you're going to be just fine on those questions. Auth in, auth Z. It's a great TechNet article. Chapter 6 in the book, I believe that is in the pre-edits. You're definitely going to want to spend some time there because it goes into the claims versus classic, when one works versus not. So whether you're taking the test here or not, stop in the study hall, read that, just for general information. Team mailboxes. We didn't really talk about them a whole lot, but it's something you're definitely going to want to be familiar with, right? This is the OAuth lecture and how things work with Exchange versus Link. 2013, I need to say 2013 after that, because if you're using Exchange 2010, right, you're not going to get this feature set. And in monitoring health, this is going to be a great one for people who have not really spent much time paying attention to how healthy your SharePoint form is. Downstairs at 4:30, they are giving away I thought it was the full, raw, unedited version, but it's just chapter one. So the best thing is the Safari 30-day for any information that you really want to get to. Unless you just wanted a signed PDF printed out, I'll be there at 4:30. So if you have any questions on technical stuff, on how SharePoint works, I'm available for the rest of the day. I'm off, but I'll be at the certification area there, and I can whiteboard, we can talk. And if we get really technical, I'll run back to the hotel real quick, bring my 32-gig beast over, and just, you know, we can just talk about SharePoint. So I am around if you need me. And then tomorrow morning, I'm at the learning booth downstairs. If you have any SharePoint questions that you think of, maybe as you're going through some of that. But you can always find me on Twitter. I'm connected just like everybody else. It'll come up and ask your question. And I don't know the answers, all the answers, right? But I have some very smart friends. So, I'm not shy to get them in the loop. But other than that, does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir.
If we want the deck,
yes. You can send me an email, or you can bring me a thumb drive. And what's that?
Can I borrow your thumb drive?
Oh, I don't have a thumb drive. The only one I had is I got the little Darth Vader one from downstairs, and I left it in my hotel room. But I emailed it to myself, and then I checked my email and put it on this computer.
Will you put your email back up there?
Yes, ma'am. You don't realize how many slides you have until you go back to the beginning. Yes. No development on here. Those are two other exams. But there are Ignite videos on the whole development side too. So if you go to that first link, you'll see a cross link that brings you there. And then there's also, for people who are brand new to development, there's another link to get you to the basics of SharePoint development. Yes, which is, because there's a huge shift there, right? Because Microsoft is no longer promoting the farm solutions and the sandbox solutions. Everything's using the app models, for better or for worse. That's what they're recommending you do. That being a point, I write mostly farm solutions. Yes, sir?
So for the development one, is there still to get the MCSE three exams before the two SharePoint ones?
Do you get your MCSD if you get the two development ones? But the requirements there is you have to have the HTML5 exam.
HTML5 and two development ones.
Yeah, I think there might be two other ones in there. I haven't yet sat down and taken those betas yet, but I'll probably. Yeah, the betas are free here. So you could just, they give you 4 hours, but you may not need 4 hours. The cool thing about that is you're going to see the way the exam questions have changed.
Yeah,
I took a beta. Oh, okay, so you got to see. Well, you know, they give you you got the report, right? That you get to go back and bone up. Oh, he's barely rough. Yeah, walk to registration, say, hey, I want to sign up for the SharePoint beta exam. And as long as they have seats open, they'll tell you when you can do it. Yes, ma'am.
What's the slides?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's the very first one, because that to me is the most important one to go to. Any other questions? Yeah, it'll be available on Channel 9. If you want it before that, let me know and I'll get it to you. All right. Well, thank you for visiting us.